Welcome to the Debrief podcast. This episode.
Or a podcast. Or
a poodcast. I was going poodcast, but poodcast.
Poodcast.
We're saying that because today's episode is on
pooing.
Poo, poo, poo.
Poo.
Poo. Pooing.
Just say it. Stools.
Turds.
Feces.
Curling out a long walk.
You're so quick off the mark. Stevie's invented this new game, and I'm feeling very stressed out about it because I haven't prepared, and she obviously has.
I'm sorry, I actually haven't prepared. Basically,
she has. She's got a note, a flippy notebook that's obviously got, it's obviously full of them, and I haven't got any ideas. She says she wants to do euphemisms for pooing, and then Tom is going to say who the winner is, and I'm feeling very stressed out.
But it's just, it's so casual, like during it.
Oh, you want to just drop them in?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe so, I just did one.
Yes. That was really good. I really like that. Apparently, one in five of us women in the UK, we will be diagnosed with IBS at some point in our life. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. Even if you don't have IBS, you still poo. So it's basically, this is the most relatable podcast we've ever done.
Because everyone does.
You can't even lie and pretend you don't.
Even the Queen.
The Queen.
The Queen has had diarrhea. I don't know if you're even legally allowed to say that on a podcast.
Anyway, isn't that treason?
Yeah, you're not even allowed
to say it. The Queen can't poo.
No, at some point in her life, the Queen has had food poisoning.
On the other side of the toilet, the Queen has got sick and hasn't been able to poo. So the Queen's been like wandering around the palace being like, oh, Jesus.
I don't think I've ever been constipated in my life.
I'm constantly constipated.
Oh.
But before we get up in that U-bend.
Very good.
Thank you. What's the most adult thing you've done this week, Tessa?
Well,
I just burped and Tessa's eating a nut. Classic poodcasting.
What have I done that's adult this week? Yes. I packed a very good bag.
No, that is very adult.
I'm feeling absolutely thrilled about it because I'm such a bad packer. I throw things into like bin bags. Mm. I have done that once.
Last minute bin bag.
An actual bin bag.
Oh, that's actually low, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... I only happened once. Okay. And it was a real emergency.
Where were you going?
I can't remember, but I do vividly remember the bin bag. But this time I packed well. I folded. I had all the stuff I needed.
Oh, that's so
I felt
so
a million
lovely.
Dollars. I felt like an old woman. I read this brilliant thing from a pilot who says that when you pack, because obviously the air stewardesses, they are
so good
absolute
at packing.
Bomb at packing. And she says you want to make a completely separate wash bag.
Okay.
So then you aren't like scrabbling through your bathroom cabinets, like finding your toothbrush and stuff. It's just like you have it all and it lives in your travel wash bag.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
That's good, isn't it?
That is good. So then you don't take toothpaste, it's open and then it like goes everywhere.
Exactly, you only have your travel stuff and it's already in there. And it's already ready. What have you done?
Sorted out some wires.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah, I've got a lot of chargers. I got a little wire organizer. I know what's what now. When I look down to the side of my bed, I know what I'm
pulling out. How many wires
out.
Are there beside your bed?
I've got a Mac charger, a phone charger, light switch thing that looks very like the Mac charger because it's like a white wire, so I just get very confused with that. And then I've got the charger for my little AirPod earphones.
Ooh. Sorry, you dropped this.
Oh, yeah. My privileged card. No.
And also these AirPods that you'll lose immediately.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll lose them. Lots of wires. Sort them out. You don't realise. It's like when your bag is messy, when you've packed something, every single time you go into that bag, you're like, oh, my bag is so messy. Whereas now, every time I look at it, I'm just like, great, I'm so organised.
Mm, that's very good.
Just, so then, that,
clear
that's
mind, clear heart.
Clear very, wires.
Very good.
Now I can poo.
Yes, please. Let's get down,
Let's get
to, pooing.
Down to pooing. Why can't we talk about poo?
It's so mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Everybody does it. Every day.
Yeah, I know.
Several times a day, sometimes.
Sometimes not, depending if you're me or Tessa. I think we've come down very hard on which side we are. I interviewed Dr. Nick Reed, who is a resident medical advisor for the IBS network. And I talked to him essentially about constipation, which he interestingly thinks that around 90% of sufferers are female, which I thought was insane.
Does he know why?
This is the
is
thing.
Theory?
They don't know why, but they have a theory. And there's all this research now saying, which is pointing towards the fact that everyone knows that the bowel or the, let's say just say stomach, it's nice, isn't it? The flora and fauna and the kind of weird stuff, the bacteria in the stomach and how it interacts with food is really linked to your brain when you're really in fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people shit themselves
because
get it all out and off we go. Mm. So there has to be a link. And now they're finding out that this link is way stronger than anyone really thought before.
Amazing.
So there's still not any conclusions drawn. But he used this example, which I thought was fascinating. Firstly, he said that he thinks women suffer from IBS more than men because when they're younger, little girls learn that it's not cool to talk about pooing and that pooing is gross.
Mm-hmm.
And little boys are like, talk about it all the time because it makes everyone laugh. So then they're way more comfortable with going to the toilet psychologically. Amazing. And women are not comfortable. That is certainly true for me. I was terrified to go to the toilet until I was about 10 because for some reason I just thought it was this like awful thing. I can't really remember my mindset. It's very difficult going back in there.
A lot of people have that. A lot of people have raised that idea of not just like something really deep rooted. Not just people who won't poo at work, people who won't poo at school.
Apparently, holding it in gives you constipation.
Well, that's what the expression "you're really anal" is, which is like the word "anally retentive."
Oh.
And it's always like, "Oh, she's so anal." It's because when you were little, you fully, completely like held in and refused to go to the toilet, and so often people who are anal in a more like emotional sense, and also have like issues around going to the toilet. Well, mental issues.
The other thing I was going to say, which leads on perfectly, is that Dr. Nick Reed mentioned he had a patient to illustrate this. There's a real link between people who feel very, very stagnant, people who have things that they can't talk about and express verbally or to anyone. He basically told me about a patient who had not spoken about this deep-rooted problem, and he said that the first line of defense for him, he doesn't look at a medical reason, and this is like the medical advisor of the IBS network, he does not look at a medical reason, he looks at a psychological reason. He spoke to her and she started telling him something. He didn't tell me because it was confidential, obviously. She started talking about a really big aspect of her life that she's never spoken about before, and literally went to the loo immediately, and it was
fine. Oh my God.
And there was this big relief, and she was crying, and he was like, and obviously this is just one person, so you can't be like, and that is the cure. But it was a really big kind of turning point. They're starting to look at, rather than antidepressants, they're starting to look at probiotics, specific types of probiotics you can eat to alter your gut to help your mental state, because not being able to drop the kids off at the pool can really affect your, or doing it all the time, can really affect your mental state. I just find that so interesting that women have it more than men,
yes,
because they don't talk about it.
It's obviously a vicious cycle that the worrying about not being able to poo leads into your general worries of not being like, oh, we're a car, and if you eat the wrong foods, that will obviously affect you, and then like everything is just connected. You wouldn't put diesel in your petrol engine, am I right? Mm. And then you expect it to run properly, and we don't make any connection between what goes in our mouths, how we then feel, what then comes out of our body.
Yeah,
madness.
Yeah,
we've lost our minds.
But if we talk about it more, I mean, we'll all just have a great time.
Once again, here we are, leading the rebellion. Talk about your poo, everybody. Well, also, this is a thing I thought about the other day. Cameron Diaz wrote, I think about her, 8 to 12 times a day.
Absolutely.
Just checking on how she's doing.
Yeah.
She wrote one of those, like, mad books. Like,
Cameron Diaz wrote a mad book about pooing.
Yeah, about your body. The Body Book. Feed, move, understand, and love your amazing body.
Boring! And then
the full title is The Body Book, The Law of Hunger, The Science of Strength, and Other Ways to Love Your Amazing Body.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of nice information in it.
It's mostly about like pubic hair and it's
really nice. But she couldn't put that on the cover.
Of the ilk of the time that Gwyneth Paltrow told everyone they had to steam your front bottom.
Yes, I remember that. And those people like burnt their vaginas.
Yeah, and everyone was like, sorry, do we get just straddle the kettle or what do we do here? God, that's a lovely idea. But I don't know if you've ever been in the kitchen with a pan of boiling water debating how to do it. But you're like, do I put it on the floor and kneel? Do I just waft the kettle underneath?
I hope it catches.
What do you want, Gwyneth? Anyway.
Will a hairdryer do? Well, yeah. So difficult.
It's not steam. It's just blow some hot air up there.
Okay.
Anyway, steaming achieves nothing.
Good.
So don't do it.
Was there another point to do with
pooing? Sorry. Yeah, it was. It was that Cameron Diaz said you should always just look in the toilet after you've been to the toilet.
Surely everyone does that anyway. Just have an excellent time.
I didn't want to come out and say that in case that wasn't a thing
but
people
you've got to check.
Did.
And I think actually underneath it all, you are checking to see if you've done a really good one.
Sometimes you want to call and show people.
Yeah, you're like, my God, that is exemplary.
Wowee. But I was thinking that because it's like gone in the water and it's gone.
Yes.
There was a time not long ago in the last couple of 100 years where most people just pooed on the ground.
Oh, okay. In a hole?
500. No, even before the holes.
Oh, okay. Just on the ground.
Yeah, so then like the Romans invented the whole like poo, you know, everyone sits together and poos over a massive pit.
And you have those big wet sponges that...
But however many years ago, when we just put it on the ground, then you would have been straight away, had a check and been like, good Lord.
Well, also, it's a marker of health, isn't it? You should check.
You'd be like, oh, what's coming through?
Yes, it's the sandwich exactly as I ate it. Maybe I should go to the doctor.
Oh, nuts again. Can I tell you a thing I thought was a business idea?
Yes, please.
Well, you know those like people who the coffee beans that's already been through a like macaque monkey.
A weasel.
Oh, it's a weasel, is it?
I think it's weasel.
Or a cat or something.
Weasel poop coffee.
Oh, it's a weasel?
Yeah.
Okay. So it goes through the weasel. And obviously, it's very expensive.
The weasel.
And also, there are weirdos on the internet.
Businessmen. Oh, who just sort of poo and then give it to you.
Who are into stuff, like weird stuff. Coffee. I was like, because if people will buy, like, ladies' pants.
Used pants.
Pants, then surely that I thought to myself.
On the dark web.
On the dark somewhere on the dark web, there is someone who will pay me
for your own
for
poo.
Nuts. No, oh. The nuts.
Because I was like, somebody must want them.
Do you not think it's a good idea?
Somebody must want them. I think.
Anyway, I had a Google, and my initial search was not forthcoming. I Googled businessmen nuts someone's pooed out. Like, nuts in your poo. Does anyone want to buy them? And nobody did. I couldn't find my market.
That's understandable. There's a test you can do to see if your digestive system is good.
Oh, yes.
And it requires...
On the where?
I've read it a lot of places, so okay. I think it's one of those, like, things. Mm. I don't know the actual source. Let's say Gandhi.
Okay.
Oh dear. So basically, to check whether it's passing through your system properly, because if it passes through too quickly, it can be green. Uh-huh. If it passes through too slowly, you can just really feel that. You should eat sweet corn and then time how long it takes to present, as it were.
Oh, lovely.
If it's more than like 48 hours.
How long it comes out before you're releasing the otters back into the wild?
That was good.
Tom's made a little note on his tally.
God, I've got to really up my game.
Yeah. Can I tell you about another test? Can I quiz you on the Bristol stool chart?
Oh, I don't know, but absolutely you can quiz me.
Do you know how many types of poo there are on
Okay, I know there's like a chart and there's like boxes, so I'm going to say 6 or 9.
7.
Okay.
Right. Type 1.
Okay.
Separate hard lumps.
Oh.
Hard to pass. I would describe them as looking like Maltesers. Or rabbit poo.
Or rabbits.
rabbits. Each one shaped like a tiny rabbit.
And it's like, what does that mean? Yeah?
Yeah, well, you're guessing what it means.
It means you don't have enough fibre in your diet.
Yeah, very good.
Or maybe you're not drinking enough water. Or maybe your name is Stevie Martin.
Is it? Is that what you're on?
Yeah. I'm very much at the don't go to the loo very often scale. When I do, it's incredibly unsatisfying. So that's why I'm always, when I'm dropping off an excellent chocolate hostage...
Why would you drop off the hostage?
Because I'm making the drop.
Oh, good one.
Okay.
Okay, so if we're having number one, Maltesers, rabbit droppings, pebbles.
Fibre.
What should we do?
So basically, the problem is fibre is very difficult because if you have too much fibre, then you get constipated.
Okay.
So you have to like hit a sweet spot. Fibre, things like fruit, vegetables, cereals. Let's take sweet corn. That's very high in fibre. Or prunes.
Oh, great.
Basically, they won't be... There's different types of fibre and the good type of fibre you want to have is... unabsorbable and insoluble carbohydrates. It won't get it digested completely, but it goes to the large intestine mm-hmm. and it feeds the bacteria, but it basically helps form a poo.
But these feel like the very hard end of the scale, like the hard and fast.
Yeah, but they're hard and small. There's no bulk. Basically, you're aiming for something that looks like a lovely brown snake.
Yes, it says here, or a sausage. Smooth and soft.
Smooth and soft. So if it's hard...
And that's type 4, guys. That's what you're all aiming for. I don't think I've ever had type 4.
I don't think I've ever had type 4.
But Tom? Every day, type 4.
He's a man, he's been brought up. But things that are good are things like beans, lentils, whole wheat bread, whole wheat cereal, unless you're gluten intolerant like Tessa, then absolutely do not have that. We have felt the effects of that.
Straight to type 7, everyone.
Miles around.
Entirely liquid.
Nuts are good.
It's not entirely liquid, it's more like a mousse.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Any kind of like raw food that feels rough, it's got like a skin on it, you know, like apples, things like that. They've got good fiber. Porridge oats basically really help you go, like, and especially in the morning. And you should also, if you're on a type one, you should always have breakfast and you should try and eat small amounts regularly. Having like three big meals is going to absolutely crucify you. You need to eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Same actually with the other end of the scale, apparently. split your breakfast in half, have one when you wake up and another half a couple of hours later. I mean, no one does this because we've all got lives.
But you've got to because you're aiming for type four.
You're always aiming for type four. Also, exercise really helps as well.
The answer to all of the things is always...
eat well and exercise.
Eat well, exercise, lots of water.
But it's not just eating well if you've got a pooing problem, because there's all things like the FODMAP diet, which is the most complex diet in the world, but it's there to kind of try and help you discover... because if you've got an intolerance, everyone just goes, gluten, dairy. But actually often it's not. It's weirdly like tomatoes could be one, or garlic is a really big one. Onions is a really, really big one. But like you might be really, really sensitive to a very specific food. And those food test places that you pay £200 for, don't pay for anything. Just like try and do the boring thing, like keep a food diary and like try and figure out exactly what it is.
So you think don't go to someone?
So the IBS specialists that I've spoken to have all said, on the whole, there's a real kind of confusion about, because they don't know what the stomach is yet. Like they're so confused by it.
And because it's wrapped up in stress and emotion and your brain and stuff. And
so actually a lot of it you could eat, for example, if it was garlic, you could eat garlic if you're feeling real chilled out. But if you eat garlic and you're stressed, that concoction is going to make you not be able to poo for 4 days, or just absolutely...
push the Play-Doh through the spaghetti maker. Very specific, if you had, you need to have had the Play-Doh spaghetti maker as a child.
I did have that. You make little shapes and you can put like filters in and you push like a diamond it. Or it's
yeah,
like
yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was like a pasta maker.
Yeah.
Making that poo pasta.
Yeah.
Making that sweet, sweet poo pasta. We've spoken about the one end of the Bristol stool
type
chart.
Type one.
You've alluded to type seven.
I certainly have. Type four, obviously. What is that? Perfect.
It's the perfect ass banana.
Oh, you're doing so well. Oh, God.
It's fine.
It's not fine. Don't say it like that, you cheeky chops.
I am prepared and I did look some up today.
Oh,
I did warn you that I was going to, so I'm surprised you didn't.
Right. Type 7.
Yeah.
It has this word about ragged edges. I don't know what it's talking about.
I do.
Oh, do you?
You're looking at a moose there.
Oh, right. And what should we do about moose? A diarrhea or urgency.
So a lot of the advice is the same. There's something that's causing it.
Yeah.
It'll be stress.
If you are coming up with 6 or 7 on a regular, it's probably something you are a bit intolerant to.
Yeah. Or you're eating a bit too much fibre for your body. So just rein in the stuff that we just said.
Or you're probably eating weird stuff and at irregular times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spicy food. That's another big one.
Oh, is it?
That causes type 6, I think. But also, like, if you're having really big meals really late at night, the next day, wine, that's a really big one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You'll probably tend towards one or the other. You'll probably tend towards a 1 or a 7. God, imagine just being a type 4 your whole time. Not even thinking about it, just having a great time every time you go to the loo. You're just like, just another great one. I could have put a cool synonym in then, but I didn't.
I'm actually so stressed out about not being able to think of any good innuendos. Like.
Okay, well, look, let's just say if it comes out, it comes out.
Well,
you know,
a silky smooth ass snick.
So many points for description. Because Tessa, you've had a journey. Tessa is gluten intolerant. And we met properly when you were right in the throes of really, really struggling with that. Did you try stuff? Did you try any supplements? Am I right in saying you tried charcoal tablets?
Yes, before I actually went and sought some medical help.
Yeah, which you did. There was this great conversation where Tessa was like, oh yeah, you know when you have to take all your clothes off and then try and find a really like cool space to warm your fiery head? Like, no, Tessa, go to a doctor.
That has ever happened to you and you either know this or you don't. So if this at this point you're thinking, what is that lady talking about? Then zone out for a second. And if you're like, oh my God, yes, then I'm afraid it's the doctors for you. If you ever are suddenly just like at the table or just going about your day and you suddenly get like absolutely crazy and hot, like really hot, like what you sort of imagine a hot flush is like, and then you're like, right, well that's about 17 seconds until I need to get myself
till
to the toilet
landed.
Till the eagle is landing, like it'll be down to the landing zone, and then you run to the bathroom and then you just feel so crazy hot that you have to take all your clothes off, and then your wrists feel insanely hot and your feet, and you sort of like have to put them against something. Once at work, I had to just like sit. Luckily, there was like one of those cubicles that had a sink inside it, and I just had to sit with my feet and my wrists in the water. I was like, I'm not well.
No.
But then it takes about 15 minutes, and then it completely passes. If you've had it a few times, you know that you're just like, this is agony, but you just have to like ride it out. And then when
this too shall pass.
Exactly. Gandalf waits with you until you're done. And then you can immediately be like, oh, I'm good now. That's done.
Amazing.
It's absolutely bonkers. And if that is happening to you, which you sort of can't control. It won't be like, oh, I've had this and now this is going to happen. It will sort of happen so sporadically in a way that you can't control, and therefore it's so hard to pinpoint what it is.
Like, before you realised that,
I was trying all kinds of things. I tried to, like, I was so hopeless at it though as well. I was always going to Holland and Barrett and then being like, they were like, I saw you coming. Here you go, madam. This nonsense. Here's some nonsense. Charcoal tablets I tried, which I think a lot of people do swear by.
I tried them. They didn't do anything apart from there was just some scary stuff happening when I...
When you slid
into my own DMs.
What?
You only slide into someone's Twitter DMs.
Is that a sexy thing?
It's a phrase of like, if you're getting on quite well as a friend, shall we slide into the DMs? Yeah, it's a thing.
So weird and rude.
Yeah. You laughed though, didn't you?
So yeah.
Point for you. I tried charcoal tablets. I think the difficulty with things like that is you don't feel like they're going to do anything. So you're just like, oh, great, I'll just put this bit of charcoal. And it doesn't really do anything. I didn't find
it. I should clarify, it's
actually really bad gas, if I'm being
in your
honest.
Mouth. Are they going
gas
in your mouth?
Gas in my mouth.
Yeah, but I was just...
No, it was not in my mouth, Deborah.
You were saying about the charcoal. Oh, I'll just
put
pop
it in my
that
mouth.
In.
Did you put it up your ass?
No, of course not. I'm just telling... You were saying it in quite an ambiguous way. So I was just clarifying that you ingest them orally.
Yes, I took them before meals. I also tried apple cider vinegar.
Did that help?
No, it just tastes like piss.
Well, basically, you've got those... tiny wafting villi in your stomach, and that's what all the problems are.
Right.
And that's so when you're like a huge Michelin man.
Well, like normal everywhere else, but like your stomach looks like you're about to give birth.
Yeah, you're like a huge round ball. What is causing that is your tiny little villi going flat.
Oh.
Yeah. So when it wafts things along, they're so useless, those villi. I mean, they're doing their best, and well done, you guys, but they aren't adapted for things that they don't like in there.
Okay. And so obviously there's a lot of food now
that they have no idea what it is. Yeah, exactly. They're like, what's this?
Yeah.
They like weasel up and like down. And that process of them going back into their shell and then it's like a flat stomach lining, that's what causes the gases in there.
Oh, that's interesting. It feels hard. Like it's really hard.
Yeah, like a drum.
Yeah, really, really hard. And you can't suck it in. Because also if you don't eat all day or you eat very little all day and then you like binge out.
Yeah.
Your stomach's also kind of slowly contracted throughout the day because you haven't been giving it food.
Yeah.
And then you shove it all in and it completely loses
its mind. Look after that little guy.
Yeah, it's such a cute
little guy. He's doing his best.
But now, the topic of the podcast is how to poo.
Yes.
I'm very sorry. I've got to go to the toilet.
Hey! So you better think of a good pun for when you come back.
Yeah, such a good... Oh, wow.
Here it comes.
Great evolution.
What have you got? Go on, what's your big euphemism for poo? We won't be carrying on until you think of one.
Well, if it's me, my general one is that I go and turn one out.
Turn one out?
Boys are the worst.
I'm just gonna curl one out. That's awful.
You would just say that to your friends?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to turn one out.
Yeah.
I'm going to start saying that because I think girls should start doing
this. I have a WhatsApp group with my mates.
Called Turning One Out.
They're one of the main topics of conversation is pooing.
Really?
To the point, some of them on the chat will take a picture of, if they're particularly proud of it, they will take a picture and send it to the group.
Okay, so we're reacting awfully, but we've both said privately the amount of times we wanted to be like, I just want to show someone. So
we didn't say that privately, we said that on this podcast.
Oh, sorry.
We recorded it.
Oh, no.
I can't believe that. See, no wonder that this thing about 90% of, it's 90% of the patients he sees are women.
Yeah, of course, because guys have got WhatsApp
groups.
We've
got a WhatsApp thread.
So this podcast is called How to Poo, and there is that big book that came out about how squatting is the way to open your hatch. And apparently it's because of the closure mechanism
of
the gut. It's not designed to do it when like sitting down. The book is called Charming Bowels by Julia Enders. And it came out in Germany when everyone went mad for it. Your gut is like a kinked hose, and if you squat, it puts less pressure on your ass, which shouldn't be the thing that's pushing anyway. And it said that the people who squat, so people like, I think in India, that's a very normal thing, they have pretty much no incidence of things like diverticulitis, which is a shitting problem, and no problems with like piles and very few. We in the West, she says, on the other hand, squeeze our gut tissue until it comes out of our bottoms. which is disgusting. That's what we're doing.
Can you see how good I am doing
here?
You're
very good at squatting, and that does not surprise me. Do you squat
when over
you get
the toilet?
Yeah. Come on.
No, I've once tried it.
Yeah.
Very
didn't
dangerous.
Work. Yes, very dangerous. That's what I mean. Really precarious. But apparently the way to do it is you have a little stool. a chair. Get your knees raised above your bottom. And once that happens, then you can poo more easily. And it does work, but I never do it because it's like, it just feels weird and it's not comfortable. And you're just so used to sitting down. So it's like, I guess everyone reads it and then it's like, oh, great.
If you just lean forward on your toilet?
You can, but that's often not quite enough. You need your legs up. Right, the other thing that I'd like to discuss is stool colours. When to worry.
Oh, yes, please.
So we've got green. It means that the food is moving way too quick through your large intestine. Basically, extreme diarrhea. So the bile doesn't have time to break down completely because bile is green. Your poo is actually green when it's in your tummy being broken down.
Amazing. And what turns it brown?
So bile is green. As bile travels through our system, it gets metabolized. And the byproduct it creates is this thing called stercobilin, which our bodies don't need. So it completely gets disposed of. And stercobilin is brown. So that's why poo is brown. Incredible.
Here it says that the brown coloration comes from a combination of bile and bilirubin, which comes from dead red blood cells.
My God, wow.
How amazing dead is the human body? The body's like, oh, this guy's
don't
dead.
Need this.
This guy's dead. Send him down to the chute.
The anal chute.
The anal chute, and he gets turned into paint, and then they paint the poo on the way out.
That's
brilliant. God, the body's amazing.
Okay, light-coloured, white or clay-coloured, that's probably you're on a medication, sometimes Pepto-Bismol. Often the anti-diarrhea drugs will do that.
Oh, really? Gosh.
Oh, now this is a lovely one. Yellow, greasy and foul-smelling.
Oh, my good Lord. Not very well.
Not very well. actually,
not very well at all.
That means there's too much fat in your stool, which means that you're not absorbing it, which is often celiac disease. Now, black.
Oh,
dear. The evilest of all the stools. That can just be food, so don't panic, but sometimes it can be bleeding. So you should always check if you have a black, as you should always check if you have red. But unfortunately, red means either go to the doctors immediately, or no, get an ambulance, call a priest, because it could be bleeding in your intestine, as with black, or you've had some beetroot, which has happened to me. It's terrifying.
It's really terrifying.
Okay, so let's see us out. We're going to basically try and out-poo fact each other for a little bit. Do you want to hit me with some poo facts? You're champing at the bit.
Yeah, I am. Okay. The word poop comes from poopin' or poppin', a French word, which originally meant fart. Poupin. It was an onomatopoeia, so like poop, poop, poopon.
That's insane.
And then poop came into its current meaning around 1910.
Okay, this is awful. I'm really sorry, but it is fascinating. You can poo out your mouth. Tess has just dropped to the floor. You can. Basically, what happens is that if you have an obstruction in your lower small intestine or in your colon, you can eat food, but it's got nowhere to go. You hit critical mass, you'll vomit it.
That is awful.
It doesn't have anywhere to go. So you basically...
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Vomit, poo. Absolutely awful. Other fact?
No, I want to go next.
Okay.
There are 4 bags of poo on the moon. They were left behind by Neil Armstrong.
That's incredible.
1 flag, 1 footprint, and 4 bags of poo.
Yeah, he left that out.
Why would
Once over man, I do need the loo.
Yeah.
I need to go.
What are they thinking? Leaving them there, that can't be.
Even if you don't eat, you'll still poo, which I thought was interesting. Because poo is made up of more than just food. So... Your body,
even if you don't eat, you still poo.
Yeah, because it's not all food. It's things like juices from your pancreas, intestinal lining, bile, gastric juices, and they all mix together that produces a liquid stool, which then it can be solidified without you having eaten a lovely orange or any other foods are available to you, which I thought was crazy. Go on. She's found another one.
Wombats have cube-shaped poo that they use to remember where they live.
That's so cute. There's a bus in Bristol that is run entirely on household and human waste. So it's powered by biomethane gas.
It's a what that runs on gas?
There's a bus.
Oh, fantastic.
And it runs on biomethane gas, yeah.
Brilliant. It's so stupid. We're making this huge waste source that so could obviously huge. Be, obviously is full of stuff that you can burn and use.
Yeah, yeah. So it's why insane. Are we doing that? This can be the final fact, so make it a good one.
Oh, no, I can't, because there's a really good one about whales I just want to tell you.
Okay, let's have a whale fact.
A scientist monitoring whale stress by analysing their poo found that their stress levels plummeted immediately following the 9/11 attacks.
My God.
What?
That's insane. Whales did 9/11. I think that's what we're going to...
Turns out.
That's how we should end the podcast.
And that's how we end. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. If you have any thoughts on poo or
9/11... Are you not going to let me tell you about the end? We're going to let that one go?
I mean, I was going to, but absolutely, please. No, go on.
Well, just so people aren't lying awake at night thinking about it,
yeah,
is because all air traffic was halted.
I thought it was like a coincidence. I thought that was the end of your fact.
Oh, right, no, it's not.
That's incredible.
And so there was no longer air things going across. And so all
no, that makes me so
sad. Because then all the... I'm sorry.
No, let's end on Wales did 9/11. Yeah. Remember that? That was fun. If you've got any thoughts on poo, on 9/11, on air travel, or on things that you'd like to hear us tackle in the future in terms of podcast, tweet me at Stevie M. The S is staggeringly a 5 still.
Mine is Tessa Coates.
Thank you so much for joining us. Do also drop us an email, which is podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. And please, 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 if you do like it, take a moment to rate or leave a review of the podcast on iTunes, because apparently that's incredibly important and we would love to hear from you, unless you didn't like it, in which case just go about your day and have a lovely, lovely
dump
later.
But don't tell anyone. Lovely dump. And do stay safe and stay healthy and see and let us know. Oh, I know what you can do. Just tweet us a number and then no one will have to know what the number is.
Yeah.
You'll only know if you've listened to the podcast.
Your Bristol stool chart number.
But don't say it. Just say the number and tweet it at us.
That'd be great.
And we can see how everyone's doing.
I would love that. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Thanks for having us.